Awesome. Thank you, Leonard. So we were joking, Leonard and I, earlier, that if you can hear that his voice is a bit coarse, or hoarse, I think is a word. But I think I'm the one that actually gave him that. You know, so that's a sign of very good, deep relationship. You know, if you can give each other flus and stuff like that, then you know that you're really moving into a different level of friendship. Okay. But I'm super, super excited tonight just to come and share with you. And I believe that this is really just a word, you know, that comes from the Lord. Obviously, it's always, always, always nerve-wracking to be able to have these times, you know, because first of all, you can't take it lightly, you know, to speak to the people of God, you know, because the desire of our hearts, as Leonard was sharing a few weeks earlier, you know, that we want this church to be built upon God. You know, we want to be a people that's devoted to God. We don't want to be a part of something where God isn't, you know. So just like Samuel said, that God, if you're not in this, if you're not with us, that we're not going to move, you know. So that's the desire of our hearts. And even this evening, as I get a little bit of excited, I'm sorry, but the desire is, you know, like that God, you know, would be among us and that God would move among us. So even in this word, you know, I believe that it's something that's really dear just to God's heart, you know, and I believe that it's impossible, you know, to say that you love God and not to love his people. You know, it's impossible, you know, to be devoted to God and not to be devoted, you know, to his people, you know, that if we claim that we are people who are devoted to the Lord, that we love the Lord and that we want to give ourselves to the Lord, the outworking of that should be that we want to give ourselves to the people of God. You know, so in essence, what I'm going to be sharing about this evening, the fellowship of believers, is really just how do we give of ourselves to fellow believers? You know, because I believe that this is something that's really, really dear to God's heart. As we see in John 13, verse 34, it says, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." You know, so we can't claim that we love God. We can't claim that we are devoted to God, but then we're not devoted to his people. So where I want to start tonight is, in essence, as I said, that fellowship is an expression of our love for one another. You know, I believe that in the time and the society that we live in, when we hear about the fellowship of believers, we've almost reduced it to events. The first thing that comes to our mind is programs. The first thing that comes to our mind is Achman. It's just another event. You know, but I believe that, you know, fellowship is a deep commitment to the people of God, not just activities. Okay. We'll share a little bit about that as we go on. You know, so the first thing that I want us to look at as we've been sharing for the past few weeks, it's we've been looking at Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. But I just want to zoom in into a specific area of the scripture. So it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship." I'm going to read it again. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship." And I believe that other ways to say that, we can say that they continually or steadfastly gave themselves to fellowship. Or if you prefer to say it in another way, you can say they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to fellowship. Or if you take it in other words, you can say that they gave themselves to fellowship. They prioritized fellowship. And if you want to put it in a raw sense, the modern day, you would say that their schedules and their lives revolved around having fellowship with one another. I'm just going to repeat again that their lives revolved around fellowship with one another. And we'll look at a couple of scriptures. So the first thing that I want us to look at this morning, I'm just going to share on three things when it comes to the fellowship of believers. And the first thing, if you're one of those people that like making notes, so I want to look at, so as you look at the early church, the first thing is there was an active commitment or an active devotion to share and to participate in the life of God with others. Just going to repeat it again. It says there was an active commitment or an active devotion to share and to participate in the life of God. Recognize that I used the word active commitment. Okay, there was an active commitment. It drove them to a certain action. The fact that they love God and the fact that they love one another, it pushed them, you know, to just live a life of fellowship. So as I said earlier, that fellowship was not just an activity, but it was actually critical to the life of the church. And we believe that the fellowship of believers, us getting into one another's home and us, you know, gathering here as believers, you know, that's crucial to the life of this church. So in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, you know, Paul says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, Each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Okay, let all things be done for building up one another. Okay, it's such a beautiful scripture. So out of this, you know, we are called to a life of fellowship, as we already said. And this life is a life of partaking in. Okay, it's a life of sharing in. It's a life of participating in the life of God with other people alongside of us. Okay, use that I'm using verbs as I'm using all these things. So it's an active participation, an active taking part of, an active sharing of one another's lives. You know, so when we read these kind of scriptures, there should be something in our hearts, you know, that shifts us, you know, to, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there should be something that shifts us, you know, to look at this at a different sense. To say that if we really, you know, like, love God, if we really want love one another, then we will get into each other's homes, man. You know, we won't just, you know, settle for, you know, just being here together, but we'll get into one another's home. So as I said, it's not an activity, but a deep call to relationship with one another. As we realize that the word says, you know, and I love these words that Paul uses in Romans 12 verse 5. He says, you know, that we're all members of one another. You know, we are all knitted together as believers. You know, that we're actually much more connected than we think. We're members of one another. So when I think about members of one another, the picture that I have in my mind is almost like this intertwined, you know, lives. So we are called, you know, for our lives to be intertwined with one another. That's who we are. We are much more connected. And I believe that the society that we live in, you know, is actually an individualistic society. It's a society that says it's okay to just sit in your apartment to read your Bible, you know, and to not give yourself to the fellowship of believers. You know, it's sometimes sort of a challenge, you know, to give ourselves to fellowship because of the society that we live in. You know, but I believe that this is something that's really dear to God's heart as we realize that our lives are knitted together. So as I said, fellowship is this deep act of sharing in the rich life that we are called to out of a relationship with one another. It's a deep and a rich life. You know, it's when we come together, when another one brings a hymn and another one brings a lesson and another one, you know, brings a tongue and another one brings a song or another one brings a prophetic word or another one brings a Buddha Vorzol or, you know, another one brings a snack or another one brings a Oros, you know, for the students. You know, it's a life of, you know, I'm sorry, students. I just had to throw that, you know. I know that as a student, Oros was number one on my list. You know, you have to make sure that you have it. You know, so it's this deep act of sharing, you know, like one another, where our lives is intertwined and our lives are really, we're in each other's faces, you know, if you can put it that way. So in the same way as the early church, we need to resolve in our hearts. You know, we need to resolve that we can't just settle, you know, for a Sunday night. You know, that we can't just settle for Wednesday night. You know, but really, this these scriptures and these things and the fact that it's something that's so close to God's heart, it should move us to say that we want to get into each other's life, into others' lives. So the second thing that I want to look at is they didn't just meet in the temple, but they met in their homes. So as I just said now, they didn't just reduce it, you know, to meeting 2 days, you know, in the week, you know, but this was a day-by-day thing. And as we look at Acts 2, verse 46, so if you just want to put it up. So it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. I'm just going to read it again. It says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So day by day, getting together, breaking bread in their homes. You know, I mean, that should be an emphasis, you know, not only for the early church, you know, but an emphasis for us, you know. So that should be something, you know, in our hearts that say, but we want to meet together, not only just in the church, but we want to meet together in our homes, you know, in our apartments, in our residence room, in the Nielsen, you know, at McDonald's, at Steers, you know, that wherever we find an opportunity, that we should be a people that push, we must push ourselves, you know, to this life that we have been given to God or by God. You know, and I know that, you know, like as we just consider this, you know, when you think about, you know, the fellowship of believers, I think, you know, we've made so light of this, you know, that sometimes we just reduce it, you know, to just having a 10-minute coffee. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. It starts there. Okay, it starts by meeting one another. It doesn't matter how long it is, you know, but we reduced it. I mean, we've made light of it. And I think maybe too light of it, you know, and it's something that we should get back to. You know, as we say that the early church, they devoted themselves, they gave themselves to this thing. You know, and I was thinking about it, you know, just a couple of weeks ago as Leonard was preaching that, you know, whenever you start something, or let's say whenever you build a house, you know, you want to make sure that the foundation of the house is strong, you know, because otherwise the building is just going to collapse. You know, so for those of you guys who are in the construction business in here or studying in like in a construction area, you will know that you want to make sure that the foundation that you build, you know, towards anything that you're building is so secure, you know, that the building that you're building is not just going to collapse. You know, and in the same way, I believe that these are ingredients, these are values, these are things that are given to us, you know, by Paul and the believers in the early church to say that this should be the foundation that we build, you know, upon. Otherwise, if you're not built upon this, then our house is going to come tumbling down. So as I say that, you know, giving ourselves to one another, fellowshipping as believers, this is something that's critical. It's critical to the life of the church. And I know that there are some of us that's sitting here that says, yes, but Godfrey, you don't understand my schedule. I'm a BX student, maybe. You know, I didn't study BA just like you. I know this was a thing on campus where, you know, different people, they study, you know, like whatever they study, they think that what they're studying is the most, you know, important and the most difficult course on campus. I know this. I was a student myself and actually still a student. You know, so you might want to say, but Godfrey, you don't understand. I have kids. You know, for those of you guys who have kids in here. You know, you might say, you know, you don't understand my work schedule, you know, but I want to say, I don't want to go ahead of myself, but I want to say that as we listen to this thing, there should be something in our hearts that shifts to say that maybe I should look at my schedule. You know, to say maybe I should look at my timetable. Say maybe I should look at my plans as I sit on a Sunday night and just look at my week. Maybe, you know, like this is something that should be in there. You know, maybe something needs to shift, something needs to give way in order for me to, you know, if I say that I value this, in order for me to make sure that this is a part of my life. You are allowed to say amen wherever you can, just to, you know, make me feel a bit better. I say, it sounds better. Okay, so I was reading one of the scriptures this week when I was thinking about this life of fellowship and this life of giving ourselves to one another. And I came upon, you know, just a scripture that actually, it was actually funny and somewhat mind-blowing for me when I read the scripture. And it's about Peter. It's found in Acts 12, verse 12. So it says, when he, referring to Peter, it says, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many gathered together and were praying. You know, like I looked at the scripture, and if you look at the background of it, is Peter was actually arrested, you know, because of preaching the gospel, you know. But it was somehow for me mind-boggling, you know, when I realized that the first thing that Peter did when he got out of prison, the first thing when he was led out of prison by God, the first thing he thought of was to go to a house where believers were gathering. So something in me said, I think it's a safe assumption to say that, you know, this wasn't just the one once off gathering. In Mary's house, something tells me that maybe the house of Mary was a house, you know, where believers would gather daily. You know, maybe it was a house where believers would gather daily to fellowship, to pray for one another, to share life with one another, to break bread, to have communion with one another, to eat together, to have meals together. You know, so the first thing that came to his mind when he went out of prison was, I'm going to go to a house. It's mind-boggling. I mean, I would have went to my wife, you know, as the first thing, you know, like when I got out of prison. I would have went to my family. You know, I would have went maybe to my friend or something. You know, but the first thing that he thinks about as he gets out of prison is, I'm going to go to a house where the believers are gathering and where they are busy praying. I mean, how amazing is that? You know, and that should definitely shift something in our hearts. So I'm just going to say it again, that we can't just be comfortable with the idea that at least, you know, we just come here on a Sunday evening and we meet at least, you know, on a comm night on a Wednesday evening. You know, but if we think it's only about this, if we think it's only about a Sunday night, if we only think it's only about gathering together for a comm night, then we're missing it. And not only are we missing it, but we're missing out. I honestly believe that we are missing out. You know, so I remember when I first came to George Jen, you know, I remember it was a one weekend. So I love trail running and I love, you know, like exercising, all this kind of stuff. Hence why I'm so lean and mean, you know. So it's something that I really, really love. I love enjoying it, you know. So when I moved to Stellenbosch, it was one of the first things that I looked towards. I was like, yes, I'm going to be, you know, like running in Stellenbosch Mountains. It's going to be a lekker thing. You know, so one day I realized that there was an event called the Xterra, which at that time was the biggest triathlon event in South Africa. You know, so something in me was like, yes, I'm gonna partake in this. It's gonna be amazing. I'm gonna sign up. You know, but the only problem is it was on a Sunday morning. You know, but being new in church, and I was just like, nah, man, I haven't been long in the church. You know, so I'm pretty sure they won't even recognize, you know, that I'm not at church this morning. So I signed up for this event with a bunch of my friends. And we went to this thing and we smashed it, you know, lightly said, you know, I want to be humble here, you know, but we enjoyed it. Like, really, it was amazing. It was an amazing morning. You know, I felt like, man, this was great. And I remember later that Sunday, I got a message, you know, from, I called her Mama Medla. She was, they were a previous couple that led or that planted this congregation. You know, so I received a message from Mama Medla and she said, hey, Boki, you know, so that's why she used to call people. She said, hey, Boki. We realized that you weren't at church this morning, and we just wanted to find out, like, is there something wrong? You know, so I called her back and said, no, Mama Medla, nothing is wrong. I just had an event this morning. I went to, you know, Grabo, and I went to, you know, this amazing run. And she was like, okay, Boki, will you please just come and join us on a Tuesday night? You know, we're just going to bride together and just have a burger. Please join us, you know. And I was like, yes, cool, I'm going to go. So on this Tuesday evening, you know, like, I was excited, you know, like, to meet with these people and to meet, you know, with my pastor and his family. And then when I got there, she said, Boki, I just want to encourage you. You see that we are called, as believers, we are called to a life of fellowship, which means that on a Sunday morning, when you're not there, us as a family, we feel like there's something that's missing just because you're not there. Wait. It boggled my mind. I was like, I've never thought about this. She's like, Boki, You see, you are not just part of our church. You are not a number, you know, like, in the church. You know, like, it's not like, you know, we're just here, we're just interested in you coming to church and going. No, we are interested in your life. We are committed to your life. And I promise you, that was a mind-boggling thing for me. It literally changed the way that I thought about the fellowship of believers. And since that day, I've never, you know, had another event. You know, like, I've never missed church just because I wanted to go run. And I'm not lording it over anyone, but this is just my life and how I felt convicted about a thing that I really thought, like, it's something dear. You know, so nowadays, you know, like, when I think about my schedule, when I think about things, you know, like, I think about, is this going to affect, you know, the life of fellowship? Is this going to affect the way that I give myself, you know, to fellow believers? You know, so I really believe, you know, we need to consider these things deeply. So the last thing that I just want to share which is not an easy thing, you know, but sharing in the life of others will sometimes require a sacrifice. Sharing in the life of others will sometimes require a sacrifice. You see, sometimes it will feel inconvenient to come to COM. I want to put it bluntly as it is. Sometimes it will feel inconvenient. Sometimes it will feel like, yes, I would rather be doing something else than to come to church on a Sunday evening. I'm just being real here. You know, sometimes it will generally feel like I could be doing something better. I could be just studying, you know, or I could be just doing another work project. And I'm saying this thing because it's what I'm confronted with every single week. As I look at my time, you know, sometimes it will feel like an inconvenient. And because of this, you know, in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, you know, it says the following. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And in 25, it says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see, there is a temptation for us to neglect to meet one another. There is the temptation. And I really believe that if you're all honest with ourselves, you will say that somewhere, somehow, there has been, you know, like, a temptation to want to neglect meeting one another. Whether it's on a calm night, whether it's on a Sunday evening, or whether it's just, you know, like, when, you know, a couple of us are just coming together to pray or to just have a Buddha voice, barai, or whatever it is. Look, sometimes there has been a temptation. You know, and this actually stems a bit deeper than we think. You know, as it says that in the last days, you know, there will come a time where people will be self-absorbed, where there will be lovers of self. You know, it is a challenge and it is something that we should consider, because there will come a temptation for us to be self-absorbed, for us to just look at our own lives, you know, for us not to open up our lives. You know, so I just want to share a story, a personal story, you know, something that's sort of in our faces and very real, you know, for my wife and I in this season of our life. And something that's really, that's it's not an easy thing, you know, like as we think about it and consider it. But so we felt last year, you know, that the Lord was leading me after working, that the Lord was leading me to study again this year. And then we also decided that I'm just going to start a company, obviously by the side, you know, just to make sure that there's, you know, the ends, you know, like do meet, you know, like, and we can pay rent at the end of the month, and finances do come in, you know, and so forth. So what happened was, one of the projects, you know, that I started, obviously as I go out, you know, like seeking projects and whatnot, you know, so I landed on a project, and I'm not saying this to boast or anything like that, but I landed on a project, you know, with literally one of the wealthiest families in and around Stellenbosch, you know, and this project is it's none other, it's my highest paying project. You know, if you look at it on paper, it's like, it's almost one of those things that you have to do it, man. Like when you look at, you know, what they offer you, you have to do it. You know, but something that's been really real and in our faces is a lot of the stuff that they want me to facilitate and a lot of the stuff that they want me to do is on a Wednesday evening. You know, but here's the challenge, you know. So my wife and I, we look at our budget and everything in our lives, you know, says, Bru, you should be doing this. You need this money. If you're not going to get this money, there's no way that you guys are going to survive this month. So that's what my circumstances are saying. You know, but yet there's this deep voice within me saying, but Bru, if you do give yourself, you know, to that money, that you're going to miss in the deep act of sharing in the believer's life. You're gonna miss something of God, you know, because you're not coming together with fellow believers on a Wednesday evening. And for us, it's not about just because we're leading com. It's not about that. You know, but it's really just about giving ourselves to this life that we really feel like, you know, God has called us towards, a life of sharing our lives with fellow believers. You know, so sometimes it will cost you something. So we need to almost start learning it right here. We're going to compete with Auntie Karen. So we need to realize that, you know, what I'm talking about now, this is countercultural to the society that we live in today. You know, we will, in some way, we will have to fight for this thing. Really. We will have to fight for it. You know, like it doesn't just come easily. Because realize that when we say yes to something, we say no to something. So if we say yes to the fellowship of believers, you know, sometimes we have to say no to the stuff that we really the stuff that we really hold deeply in our hearts. So it will cost you something. And with that, I just want to say, you know, as I said, that it will feel inconvenient because it doesn't fit the schedule. You know, sometimes you will be tempted to neglect, you know, this life of the believers. And I believe that, you know, hearing this, you know, James speak about, you know, that being a hearer of the word and not being a doer of the word, he says it's like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. You know, and when he turns around, he immediately forgets how he looks. You know, and I believe that, you know, like hearing this and looking at these scriptures and considering just this deep life that we call towards to share in the lives of one another, I believe it's not something that we should look at and be like, man, those were cool scriptures, those were cool stories, but it should be something that drives us towards action. So I want to say the following, that so there should be a drive in our hearts. There should be a deep desire, you know, to live this life. There should be a desire in our hearts to want to shift our work schedules, man. Really, I mean that. You know, maybe some of you are like, man, you know, you're taking it too far. You know, but it says day by day that they get it towards one another. I know that, you know, like it's difficult to just be now in each other's faces 24/7. You know, I know that. You know, but there should be just that drive to want to share in this life. You know, so our work schedules, you know, in some way should shift. You know, our study times should shift. You know, our schedules, you know, should shift, you know, to be able to partake, you know, like in this life that we call towards. So as I'm trying to land this, I wanna ask a question: that could it be that we are making too light of the fact that as believers we are called to a life of fellowship with one another? You know, could it be, you know, that when we really look deeply into just the way that we live life and the things that we give ourselves towards, you know, sometimes could it be that it's too easy for us to say yes to something else, you know, and to neglect the fellowship of believers? So it's something that we need to deeply consider just in our lives tonight. So I'm just going to end this with this following summary to say that being devoted to fellowship is not just being devoted to activities, as I said in the beginning, but it's being devoted to a relationship, you know, with the people of God. You know, if we think we are subscribing to an event, then we will find it difficult to meet together. We will find it difficult to have fellowship with one another. You know, so being committed to fellowship is being committed to the people of God. So we were just sharing in the week, Leonard and I, that it's actually almost a blessing, you know, that we have our service the way it is for this Sunday. You know, because then it gives us an opportunity, you know, not just to hear about these things. It gives us an opportunity not just to be hearers of these things, but it gives us an opportunity to practice this. So I really want to put out a challenge out there, and I really want to put out an encouragement out there to say that it's 6:05 right now. So we would have ended at probably 8:00, or we would have ended it at 8:30, or like last week at 9:00 or after 9:00, you know, but we're ending at 6:05, you know. So this is really an amazing opportunity, you know, for us to pull together and say, hey, don't you want to go grab a coffee at McDonald's? You know, to say, hey, don't you want to come over to my house, you know, to just come and have a meal with me? Or don't you want to come over to my residence room to have an oros with me? You know, if that's what it is. You know, so I just want to put out this challenge, you know. And with this, consider, are you committed to the people of God? I know it sounds like an in-the-face, you know, almost like disrespectful kind of question, but I really want to put it bluntly. Are you committed to the people of God? And if you're not committed, there should be something in our hearts, you know, tonight to say, God, just help us to clear our schedules if that's a thing that's holding us back, to be able to give ourselves to this thing that, you know, on a Sunday evening, as my wife and I sit down, as we look at our schedule for the week and we look at different things that need to happen, to say that, man, you know, like, I mean, we need to give ourselves to the believers. It can't be just on a calm night, you know, but it should be, you know, as often as I can or as often as we can. So I believe that this made sense tonight. So yeah, and it, I'm just going to give it over to you. Okay. Nice. Yeah, so I just want to pray for us, cool? So we can just, I'll just close our eyes as we just consider this deeply. And as I pray, I really just want you to just be silent. Just silence your heart and just consider this, you know, just consider your schedule, consider the way that you've been living life, and just ask yourself, you know, is it that you're making too light of the fellowship of believers? So, Father, we're just going to come before you this evening, and we thank you, God, that you have called us into a fellowship with you, and that you've called us into fellowship with one another. Father, we thank you that your word says that, you know, by the way that we love one another, you know, that others out there will see, Father, that we are your people, and others will be able to see and taste of you, God, and just see something of you, that people will be able to experience something of you as we gather together, as we share in this deep life that you've called us towards. So I really pray, Father, that tonight you'll just help us, God, that we'll clear our schedules, Father, if that's what we need to do. Will you give us the grace, Father, not to just consider this and just, you know, sort of let it go, but really, Father, just to give ourselves, God, help us to lean in, Father, when it comes to this thing, to say that we want to give ourselves to the life with fellow believers, in the name of Jesus. Amen.